Ready, Set, Go series, and it has been just incredible. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have enjoyed presenting it to you. We have been talking about the great mission of Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, which is also our mission statement here at CCW. So today will be the last time we talk about this from the stage, but you'll be seeing, you see this everywhere in the bulletins, on our website, and all kinds of different things. So I'm wondering, how many of you have, over the last 6 weeks, managed to memorize Matthew 28, 18 through 20? Raise your hand if you've memorized it. All right, good. I just want to get it. Wow, okay. So this is going to be fun, because about a month ago, I gave $10 to the person in the audience that had memorized this passage, all right? And Lisa said, man, don't do that again. I'm like, no, I want to see who knows this, all right? So I figured today I would do the same thing again. I would bring $10 with me, and if you have managed to memorize this passage and you are under the age of 40, y'all, all y'all 50 and 40 and over, you got money, you don't need this. If you know this passage, all right, the first one to come on up here, come on up, and this $10 is yours, all right? Don't be afraid, all right? Wow. Josh Kunkel, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Hey, now, ain't your mom ever told you ladies first? I mean, now, sorry, Jen, he needs to split this with you if he gets it right now. Now, to make it interesting today, because I know you can read, Josh, and it's on the screen, do you want the audience to help you this morning, or do you just want to go for it?
I got it.
All right, all right. You mind if I put this blindfold on you? All right. You sure?
Yeah.
All right. It's going to look really, hold on. There we go. There. All right. This is just to make you more nervous, okay? Because I know you don't, now you can't see everybody staring at you with, like, intense intensity. I don't know. All right. You ready to say this? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let's see if Josh has got it down. Ready, set, go.
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, teaching them to, or baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow everything I've taught you.
Obey
everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age.
Woo! All right. I'm so proud of you, Josh. Thanks. There you go. Awesome. Oh, yeah, this too. All right. All right, there you go. You got it right. Congratulations. Good work, Josh. Man. Hopefully you got it down. Just kind of a snapshot of our high schoolers, man. I love y'all. It's just great. We got some great young people around here, getting them involved. Jen, you too. I mean, this, I know it could have been yours. He'd be glad to take you to lunch with that. McDonald's probably. Not going to get you very far. It's been awesome just to kind of reflect on and concentrate and focus on the words of Jesus and what he has told us to do as his people and as his church. And up until now, we've been talking about the actions that we take in the mission statement. We've talked about what it means to go and to make disciples and to baptize, to teach, to obey. And what I love about this, and you'll love it too, is that not only are the action words that we are to do in the mission statement, the great mission of Jesus, but Jesus makes a promise that he is ready to take action as well. Did you catch it there at the end? Look at what Jesus says. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus makes it clear to us that he is ready. He is set to go with us always. And he is with us always to the very end of his great mission. Now, what's it mean? What does it mean that he is with us? Well, really what it boils down to is that God is involved in his great mission. In supernatural ways, he guides, he comforts, he stretches us, he tests us sometimes along the way. We've seen this over and over the past 6 weeks as we've journeyed through the book of Acts, this true story of people who lived closest to Jesus, those first Christians who took his mission seriously. And we see how God was with them always. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Acts and check it out. There's some in the chairs in front of you if you want to go ahead and open those up. If you're with a neighbor, maybe you're having trouble finding it, go ahead and help each other find the book of Acts. And I just want you to kind of thumb through it and just kind of do a quick review because we've jumped through 20 chapters in the book of Acts. Hopefully you've been reading it along with us. I have enjoyed the reading plan we've been on and doing that with some of you. And for the past two Sundays in the book of Acts, we have looked at the life of a very important follower of Jesus. His name is Paul, the Apostle Paul. We've seen in Acts 9 through 20, those chapters, how Paul was making disciples in places like Athens. We talked about a couple weeks ago. Last week, Josh talked about Ephesus and where he was there and all around the world. And today, I just kind of want to go through these last seven chapters of Acts, Acts 21 through 28, right to the end of the book. And see that surely God was with Paul. He was. Right to the end of his very mission with Jesus. Now, Acts 21 through 28 are pretty cool. They kind of focus in on the life of Paul. And as Josh McGrew taught us last Sunday, hopefully you were here for that. Josh taught us that Paul was motivated by the love of God to obey his commands. You remember that? You remember? He lived for Jesus and he obeyed God through all kinds of these wonderful, crazy, sometimes difficult, life-threatening situations in his life. And God was with him. And right there at the end of Acts, Paul is in the middle of it, man. He is in the middle of this missionary journey with Jesus. And wow, I mean, look at chapter 21. By now, Paul is still being dragged all over the place, from place to place, many times in chains. He's being kept prisoner. He's been wrongly accused, especially by his own people that he probably grew up with, were now accusing him of these crimes. In fact, he's arrested in chapter 21, verses 18 through 25. He's arrested yet again. We see in chapters 22 and 23 that Paul is facing this riotous mob of Jewish people, and they are ready to kill him. I mean, just run him out of town. And then he faces the leaders of the Jewish community there called the Sanhedrin, chapter 23, and he goes to prison. He's persecuted. He's flogged, beaten, chapters 21, 22, 24. This is the things Paul's going through. He stands before officials and governors and even a king like Felix and Festus and King Agrippa. And all the time he is telling the story of Jesus. And he's telling his story with Jesus. He spends time on boats, in storms, survives a massive shipwreck in Acts chapter 27 on his way to Rome. In fact, here on the Nature Coast, it's pretty cool. A lot of you own boats, pontoon boats and sailboats and things like that. You can't wait to get out on the water today. If you're a water guy or a boat person, man, read Acts chapter 27. Luke gives us a detail of Paul's journey in this. But it's a great shipwreck story. Like, how many of you sailors just don't love a good shipwreck story, right? And like all good shipwreck stories, in Acts 27, this is Paul the sailor man, all right? Just cue it up. He eats his spinach. He's got his muscles. He's right there on the boat. Actually, he's being kept prisoner there, and they're delivering him to Rome. And the storm comes up, and the boat wrecks. And like all good shipwreck stories, they wash up on where? An island, not a deserted island, that would have been cool, but no, an island, yes, and the island is called Malta. In Acts chapter 28, we read about this place as he is washed ashore there. For 3 months, Paul is there before sailing onto Rome, and there's actually, in Acts 28 there's a do not try this at home moment where they're collecting wood for the fire, and in the fire, a venomous snake, a viper, comes out of the fire and bites Paul, and they think he's toast, like he's dead, he's a goner, and they think he's a criminal, he deserves this, these people on the island, and he just shakes the snake off, and he doesn't die. All right, don't try that at home, all right? Venomous snakes are bad. But we're not going to do that here this morning either. I'm not ready to test God in that way. But Paul was able to do this. And they thought, oh, now he's a god. And they start to follow him and listen to his words. And they introduce him to Publius. He's the official on the island, this man. And he heals this man's dad. And then he goes on and they begin to heal and help people and talk about Jesus the entire time. That's all in Acts chapter 28. They're there for 3 months before sailing on to Rome. And he actually purposed that. He wanted to go to Rome so that he could present Jesus to Caesar himself. Pretty cool story. Paul is still on house arrest. He is still living under Roman guard while in Rome. And he's able to speak about Jesus while he's there. He's able to have visitors while he's there. He calls people to himself. He writes letters. In fact, while he's incarcerated in Rome, there on house arrest, we see that he writes letters that are still in our Bible today. Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians. All the while, he's being visited by friends and people that he knew, people that we read about in our Bibles, like Timothy and Mark and Epaphroditus and Tychicus and even and especially Luke, who records Acts for us all the way to the end of the book, Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. And I just kind of want to show you how Luke ends the book. Acts 28, 30 and 31. Look what he says about Paul. For two whole years, Paul stayed there. He's in Rome, in his own rented house, and welcomed all who came to see him. Now, I love that. He's there, he's stuck there, but he's inviting people in. I mean, you talk about hospitality. I mean, today you're probably going to go, you know, home and watch football or hang out with some friends. They're going to welcome you into their home. You're going to welcome others. They were going to see Paul and hearing about Jesus. I mean, this is incredible. So he's welcome everyone who comes to see him. And what's he doing there? Proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Nothing would stop him. Teaching about the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness. And it's crazy. The book of Acts just ends right there. It just stops. Where is Acts 29? What's going to happen next? I mean, he's in Rome. He's about to see Caesar. All this stuff's going on in Paul's life, and the book of Acts just ends. What is Luke thinking? Well, I believe that Luke had done what he set out to do. He had recorded highlights of the great mission of Jesus by the disciples. Church had been planted. The Jews and non-Jews, Gentiles, they had heard the message of Jesus. And from Jerusalem to Rome, that had been accomplished. And Luke shows us how God was with Paul and the other disciples all along the way. Men like Peter and Cornelius and Philip and others that we've met during this series. They were with God. They were on the same page, and they were accomplishing the great mission of Jesus together. And Luke had done a great job of showing and modeling for us through these men, through these stories, on these pages, the great mission of Jesus right before our eyes in the book of Acts. How he was ready, and they were ready and set and go. How they made disciples, help me out. How they were baptizing, how they're teaching, obeying. And how Jesus had done what he said he would do. He was with them always to the very end of their age. Now, I think about these words to the very end of the age, and especially these words, I am with you always. God is with us always. You know, as I reflect, and I think maybe you do too, don't we sometimes ask God to be with us? We pray that prayer. We say, God, would you be with me? God, be with me as I go to work today or as I go to school today. God, be with me. Keep me safe. God, be with us. And if the book of Acts makes anything clear, it's that God is always with us. He is with his people always. Always? Yes. We don't have to ask God to be with us. The question is, are we with him? Are we on the same page with what God is doing? And how do we know? How do we know? Well, as we look back at the book of Acts, we can see how God kept his promise to be with his people and how we can be with him, knowing that he's with us to the very end of the age. It comes by living Christ's kingdom, led by the Holy Spirit, to multiply to all nations to the end of the age. Christ's kingdom. You want to be with God? It's about Christ's kingdom. In fact, that's why Jesus came to earth. He came to bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth. In fact, from his very beginning, Jesus on earth, he preached the kingdom of God was at hand. You read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see that. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what does it mean, the kingdom? What does the kingdom of God actually mean? It means God's rule, God's reigning over those who call him king. So if you call Jesus king, then you are part of God's kingdom. And remember Matthew 28:18, we just read it a minute ago. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to who? Jesus. All authority, heaven, earth, given to me. Jesus is king. Jesus, this is his kingdom, and we're living in it. He is the king. God is with those who are in Christ's kingdom. And look, the sooner we get this, the sooner we will get with him. Christ's kingdom. And it's a theme throughout the book of Acts. In fact, no less than 8 times we see this, the words of Jesus himself. In Acts 1, we see Peter, Philip, Paul talking about Christ's kingdom. And it would include people of all backgrounds in a story much, much bigger than we could ever imagine, much bigger than they could even imagine. It wasn't just set there in a corner of the world. Christ's kingdom is a revolution that literally brought heaven to earth in their time and has continued through the centuries. Jesus prayed, you remember this? He said, he prayed, your kingdom come, God, your kingdom come. Let it be done on earth as what? It is in heaven. During the Lord's Prayer, Jesus prayed that. Jesus came to earth to show us what heaven looks like. He lived a perfect life right before our eyes. He loved, he healed, he taught, he made disciples. He gave his life because that's what Christ's kingdom is about. It's a kingdom of sacrifice, a kingdom of love. He died for you and for me on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins and live forever in heaven with God. And after 3 days, Jesus rose from the grave. And he rose from the grave to reign over his kingdom at the right hand of God as King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever and ever, past, present, and future. This is a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of salvation. It's a kingdom of good news for all of us who call him king. He is with us. He is with us. So are we living his kingdom in our lives, like Paul? And I go back to these verses in verse 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul got it, and he's talking about it, and he is showing it to those around him, the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, his kingdom on earth should be seen in his people on earth. His kingdom on earth should be seen and heard from his people on earth. Christ's kingdom should be heard and seen in us, just like Paul in verse 31. And maybe it looks just like that, welcoming people into our homes like Paul did as he tells them about Jesus. Living Christ's kingdom on earth might look like hospitality. It might look like being friendly. It might look like loving people who are not like us. Maybe living God's kingdom means feeding football players here at CCW on Thursday. And I know I talk about this a lot, but man, it's just something to see a group of adults who know Jesus serving food and sharing smiles and hugs with students and coaches that don't know anything about the kingdom of God, but they're seeing the kingdom of God for just a couple hours on a Thursday afternoon. You know, people ask me sometimes, you know, why do you coach football during the week, Joe? I mean, why do you volunteer and do that and give those hours? I say, well, I spend a lot of my life around people who are in the kingdom of God. I need to be out there just somehow sharing the kingdom of God with those who might not know it. And you're in the same place. What does the kingdom of God look like in your life? You know, I look at you, man. I see Andre, who knows, man. Sharing the kingdom might be sharing the kingdom of God with college students in Ocala or Gainesville. And I saw Rich come in this morning. Massa might mean working for Habitat for Humanity and just sharing the kingdom of God with people in our community who need homes and need resources. I see some of you who go to work each day saying, you know what, I don't work in the best place in the world, but I can be the light of the world in that place, and I can live the kingdom of God there. I can share with my kids, my grandkids. That's what Lindsay just tells me this morning. She's embarrassed, but you know what? She tells me, Joe, guess what I got to do this week? I got to share Jesus with a friend of mine and invite him to church. Living the kingdom of God. It's us. It's you and it's me. I think of Jim, who works in our office during the week, volunteers in the cafe. And you know, just a few weeks ago, Jim came in. He says, Joe, I met this homeless man, and I became friends with him. And he tells me his name. He tells me his story. He says, you know, this guy was working, and everything that he had got stolen right out of the woods. His tent, his bicycle, made it hard for him to get to work. So he lost his job. And now he's just trying to figure out where he's going to live and where he's going to go. And Jim, who, if you know who I'm talking about, he has very limited resources himself, starts to make phone calls and ask around the office and ask around some of you. And he collected enough resources for this man. He just wrapped his arm around him. He said, you know, I'm going to help you. And he's just making phone calls and collecting money. He managed to get enough for this man to get on a bus and go back to North Carolina to be with his family and get into a program where he could get some help and actually get a job, begin working again, and get his life started all over again. This just happened. Man, the kingdom of God is alive, and it's alive through you and I. Heaven meeting earth. Loving people like Jesus loved because he is with us always. Just like Paul, we can proclaim the kingdom boldly with our actions, with our words, by loving everyone always, just like Jesus did. He's with us always. And how do we do this? Well, he's with us always by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I know this might be new to some of you, and some of you this might be, well, of course he is, you know, the Holy Spirit, but he is with us always through his Holy Spirit. You need to catch this. This is the Spirit of God, the presence of God on earth. The Bible teaches that he actually lives inside and empowers his people who live committed to Christ and to his kingdom, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the promised one by Jesus to those who follow Jesus. It's God's presence, and he's with us always through his Holy Spirit on the great mission of Jesus. We see it in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is the star of the story. I mean, he is the main character. The people that we've read about and talked about, we've talked about Paul and Peter and Philip and all these people, they are important role players. But make no mistake, the Holy Spirit is the leading man. He is the centerpiece. He is the franchise player. The book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit doing his thing on earth through God's people. He's mentioned over 60 times in the book of Acts. From the very beginning, going back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what did Jesus say? He said, you will receive power. He's talking to his disciples, his people on earth. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right where you are, and yes, in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth, the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what happened by his power. Not by man's power, not by an organization. It's not about an organization or a religion or a church. This is about the Holy Spirit. And just a chapter later, Acts chapter 2, Peter tells thousands of people the story of Christ, who the Messiah was, and how they can get in on the salvation and how they can become part of the action in the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, look what he says. He says, all of you repent. Turn away from your old lives and give your life to Jesus. He says, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the promise and the gift of God himself. Part of what we call the Trinity, this divine mystery of God who comes and lives inside of us, God with us always through his Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you this morning, try this. Be with him. Connect with the Holy Spirit. Give him some time. Give him some room. Give him leverage in your life. Read the Bible. The Holy Spirit will make the Bible come alive in your life. The sword of the Spirit, the Bible is called. Read your Bibles. Pray. Pray for things of Christ's kingdom and live them out by the power of the Spirit and live by the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Try this. Be people of peace. Be patient. Be good and kind and gentle and faithful, loving, self-controlled. And you'll see the Holy Spirit is ready. He's set to go with us, in us, always. Don't ignore him. Don't turn your back on him. Pretend he's not there. Be led by the Holy Spirit of God and see what happens. You know, here at CCW in this church, This is a key core value for us. In fact, it's probably the most important one here at CCW. We want to live Spirit-led lives together as a church. It's a core value. We must be a church that is led by the Holy Spirit. So we teach about him. We strive to be a church that follows his guidance with every decision. Sometimes we think and act a little bit slow because you know, we're trying to process what God wants us to do. And this happens best in unity when all of us join together like those we see in the book of Acts, living the great mission of Jesus together by the power of his Spirit. And he's with us. His Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God. And he's with us as we multiply. This is why it is so important. We multiply. The book of Acts, again, just thumbing through, you'll see. The book of Acts shows us that the great mission of Jesus grew. It grew. It multiplied. Disciples of Jesus went out and they made more disciples of Jesus, baptizing, teaching, obeying. Help me out. You know this. Everywhere they were reproducing, they were making more disciples and expanding into what we now call the church, his church, Christ's church, his kingdom on earth, led by the Holy Spirit. And it was born to multiply. That's why Jesus would say, go and make disciples of all nations. Everywhere, multiply, and he's with us always. And if we do the great mission of Jesus, if we focus and concentrate our hearts and our energy and our passion on that, then God will grow his church and it will multiply. Remember again, Acts 1:8, the words of Jesus, you will be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and it keeps going into all of the ends of the earth for generations to come. Man, think about this. A few fishermen who were changed by Jesus, who followed Jesus and went on mission, Jesus' great mission for Jesus. And in the 28 chapters of Acts, the church multiplied just as Jesus said. 30 different countries and 39 cities from Jerusalem to Rome and everywhere in between. Great metropolitan areas, small villages, one-on-one. Look at it's amazing to see how the church multiplied. And it multiplied in the face of opposition and oppression and persecution and popularity and politics and everything going around, trials at every turn. The church could not be still. It could not be killed. It could not chill out. It wasn't here just to sit still. The church grew. It multiplied. People heard about Jesus. They heard about the Messiah and they believed. They pledged their life to him as king. They were baptized and they followed Jesus as disciples. Disciples, who made more disciples, and they baptized more and more by the thousands, and they taught by the thousands, and they obeyed by the thousands, and the church spread. I love Acts chapter 9, verse 31, where Luke says this, the church throughout Judea, just like Jesus said, throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, guess what? They enjoyed a time of peace, and they were strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord. It's his kingdom. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by his Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. The church was multiplying. It was growing. Fishermen, doctors, sorcerers. We've talked about these people for the last 6 weeks. Ethiopians and merchants, politicians, Jews, non-Jewish people, these Gentiles, rich and poor, sick, healthy, men, women, young and old, slaves and jailers and centurions and leaders and followers all over the place. God was with them as they followed Jesus together. And they were changed by Jesus together. And they were on his great mission together. And they multiplied because God was with them. He multiplied them. His kingdom, his Spirit, his church. Because changed people changed the world. That's what we see in the book of Acts. That's what we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. And it is still true today. Y'all, God is with us. And to be with him, then we have to have a heart. We have to be here to multiply. Because believe it or not, even 20 centuries later, there are human beings on earth who still need to know and love and follow Jesus Christ as Lord. They are missing out on the way and the truth and the life and the way to heaven. And that's why we're here. That's why we exist as a church, You know, CCW exists because God allows us to exist. He could stop all this right now, but he allows us to be here and to grow because he wants his church to multiply. You and I, us, together, one life at a time, one-on-one, multiply your friends and mine to multiply. Small groups, if you're in a small group, and multiply. This church, it's meant to multiply. We're trying to plant churches, and we have a vision for that, to multiply. And families, multiply. It starts at home with you and I, moms and dads, grandparents, marriages. I want to invite you, man, next week I'm so excited about this new series called Family on Board. We're going to talk about marriage and talk about parenting and talk about men and women and children and how to disciple in our homes and really give God the glory as we're called to be men and women of God. And men, I'm calling you out. Men, be here next week because it's about us. It's all about us being men of God. So invite your friends. Men, come on back as we do that together. Family on board. It starts with the people closest to us. Multiply. Now, I don't mean go out there and start making babies. I mean just disciples, all right? Multiply. Nothing wrong with that, but think about this. Right here in our own little corner of Hernando County, I hope that you know and want to be a part of what CCW has been about from the very beginning. In fact, there's a picture on the screen there on the right. Maybe you've seen it before up there on your left. That small group of men and women who started this church up in the Wildwood just like 40 years ago, multiplied into what you see around you today. And not just what you see here, but the preachers that have been sent out to other churches and the missions that we support around the world. You see some pictures up here and missions like places in India, where you see Chad and Vivek. Vivek was just here from India a few weeks ago and told us about the work that's being done there as they plant churches and share the gospel with India. And he personally thanked you and us for the support and the prayers and the investment that we're making to that nation, to that mission. Or in Haiti, you see some pictures up there of Sansurin and how he is training preachers by the hundreds to plant churches by the dozens there in Haiti. Multiply. Your investment, your prayers, the resources that you give here is to multiply and to share Christ's kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit around the world. And multiply. And Go Church, Spring Hill. Man, we planted Go Church just a couple years ago to Noah and sending Jake and everybody out. And I want to invite you to go and to check that out. Man, they're doing a great work. In fact, today they're actually hosting a party at Delta Woods Park for the entire community. They're reaching people that we're not reaching to multiply. And you're involved in that. And I'm involved in that as you pray for them and as you give and as you serve. Get in on the action. Invite others into it. Invest in his mission here to multiply. Get in on the action. Find a place to serve. Find a place to give. Find a place to join and multiply. Pray, please. I just want to ask you to pray for this church. Pray for our leaders. God is with us. But we got to do everything we know how to do to just continue to be on the same page with him every step of the way. Multiply. We truly want, this is our vision, man, we truly want everyone within our influence, everyone we know to become a disciple, to become a follower of Jesus, and every follower of Jesus to become a disciple maker, and everyone we know, as they become disciple makers, to become kingdom leaders who will multiply, who will go and make disciples, baptize and teach and obey. So that means, quite simply, it is go time. For you and I and us all together, it is ready, set, go. We see the disciples of Jesus on his great mission throughout the entire book of Acts, and they are inspirational. These are stories and verses about people who played a role in the great mission of Jesus himself. And that final verse in Acts chapter 28, we've read it, is Paul proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The last verse. And the book just ends. It just stops right there. I mean, that's not a great ending to a book, right? I mean, I mentioned it earlier, but where is Acts 29? I mean, what's going to happen with Caesar and Rome and in the Gospels that goes around? I mean, what is he thinking just ending the book right there? Where is it? I mean, what happens next? It's a good question, right? Well, I believe that Acts chapter 29 is sitting in this room today, right before my eyes, right next to you, right behind you, right all around you. Acts chapter 29 has been written and will continue to be written with Christ's people, his followers, who have continued the great mission of Jesus for centuries past and right here today. Acts 29 verses have been written on the pages of history for the past 2,000 years, and they are still being written here today. And right now, it's our turn. It's our turn. We are living Acts 29. You and I, together on the great mission of Jesus. So I have to ask you, what will be said about our role in the great mission of Jesus? This church, this family, you and I, specifically, when history tells about you and your story, what will be said about your role in his great mission? God is with us, and each of us get to live out our own Acts 29 verse in the great mission of Christ. Do you know that today? You get to write your own verse. You'd be written into the pages of history as somebody who gets to be in Christ's kingdom, led by the Holy Spirit to multiply. So in your bulletins today, I don't know if you want to scribble out something, write, pray about it. You can write your name down and think about this. It's on the screen as well. Maybe in a notepad or something, write your name down. Write about what will you be remembered for in your role in Jesus' great mission. Write your name there. And I lived the great mission of Jesus by what? What will be said about you? Write that down. This is your one shot. Tomorrow's not promised. We have today. You. Me, us. Jesus is with us always as we live his great mission, his kingdom on earth, led by the Holy Spirit, multiplying his church. Because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to who? To Jesus. All authority is his. This is his kingdom. So go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize and teach in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and he is with you always. You always. You always. He is with you and you. You and I always to the very end of the age. His great mission. And our age hasn't ended yet. This is our mission. This is our time. Ready, set, go. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to sing this song because I love the words of this song, especially in light of this message. You know what? God's not dead. He is surely alive. And I believe that a revival is ready to start right here and right now as we live God's great mission on earth. Y'all ready to sing this together? All right. God's not dead. He is surely alive. Let's sing this together. We're going to have the words on the screen this time. All right. I promise. So he is always with us, y'all. He is always with us. Are we with him this morning? Are you with him? Are you ready to go? Ready, set, go. Let's pray and let's sing. Father God, we love you. Thank you. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for making us part of his kingdom on earth. God, I pray that we would just be led by your Spirit every step of the way, every day of our lives, and that, God, we will give you the glory as we multiply and as we leave this place. God, to share you with others, just like Paul, to proclaim your kingdom and the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. You are not dead. You are alive. You are roaring like a lion through your Holy Spirit in our lives. God, please use us for your glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing.